Greetings. Welcome to the Papa Pank Podcast. I am Justin Jane, and this is my friend and my co-host,
Jaylene Clark Owens.
There's a lot of gray in the world. We think it needs a little more pink, a Papa Pank. We are Philly-based, multi-hyphenated, and award-winning actors taking on all things arts and culture in this joy-forward and ever-playful variety podcast. You are listening to our theme song composed by Jordan McCree, member of the band Ill Dudes. We welcome you, our Pank Papas, both old and new. Please rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate y'all. And with that, let's get it started. Oh, when the Saints go marching in. Oh, when the Saints go marching in.
It's Lord, kind of
out. You be in that number.
Kind of out. We're doing
when the Saints go marching in.
It's kind of out.
Happy Mardi Gras and
happy kind of out.
But really, happy Ash Wednesday. Cool down.
Yes.
Yes, it is that time of year. So though to our podcast listeners at home and to our live audience that's listening while we record this, you are already in Lent. Hopefully you got your ashes, but it's okay because Mardi Gras and Carnival is not only a time and event, but a state of mind.
Period.
Yes, on today's episode, we are saying Laissez les bon temps rouler and talking about the magic of Mardi Gras, of Carnival, and the whole pageantry behind the sometimes overlooked holiday. And because we are an arts and culture podcast, we are going to be diving into the artistry and the theatricality of all things related to Mardi Gras. But before we get into that, Jaylene and I definitely have some catching up to do.
Yeah. So if you missed our last episode, we talked about all things relaxation, as I shared a bit about my fibroid journey and my recovery after surgery. So if you missed that, definitely go back and check that out. We also chatted about the Winter Olympics, which were making us very tickled pink, especially women like Erin Jackson. And speaking of women, happy Women's History Month, okay? Yes. Be sure to check out my Instagram page for a little series that I got going near this month. But anyway,
in the meantime, yeah, let's keep this parade rolling because it wouldn't be Mardi Gras without a drink. Pew, 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 pew,
pew, pew, pew, pew. And like Pank Papa said, Paul, it's Pank party time. And Mama Pat said, let the good Pank times roll.
Yes, let's do it.
It's about that time. Get your glass of Wheat Can Clank.
It's time for that Papa drink.
Papa drink.
Papa drink.
Papa drink.
Papa drink. And cheers. And cheers. Arriba, abajo, acentro, parentro. Jingle Masakara, Mabuhay, Wello, and happy Mardi Gras.
And happy Carnival. Woo!
So, while we are drinking some alcoholic drinks tonight, you can drink whatever you want. If you want to have a fruit punch or a sparkling cider, that's okay with you. But Jaylene, what are you drinking tonight?
Pank Papas, I am having pretty much what our Pank Papa Janelle Robinson is having.
Oh.
A rum punch. Now, you know, and yes, it is in honor of Trinidad. That's exactly, we on the same page. You know, since we're talking about the Caribbean, I decided to make a makeshift rum punch based on what I had in my fridge. So it's not exactly a real one, but you know, it'll do. It has, what is this? Passion fruit juice, a splash of passion fruit liqueur,
yes,
and some Malibu, 70 proof, yes, Malibu rum. So it's a very sweet drink.
And that looks like a pretty big pour there, Jaylene. So if she gets twisted by the end of this episode, y'all, you'll know it was because of the makeshift rum punch. Now, I think that's perfect for Carnival and Mardi Gras to make your own thing based off of the real thing. I think if you actually had the real thing, then you're at a bar and you're paying way too much money. So I really wanted to make something special that's New Orleans themed for Mardi Gras. And it would have been something like a Frozen Hurricane or something like that. But I decided to go with my version of the Sazerac. So the Sazerac is a drink that was invented in New Orleans in the 1830s. And it includes sugar, rye whiskey, absinthe, sometimes cognac, but absolutely some bitters, some Angostura bitters. Now, this drink was invented by Monsieur Antoine Péchard, who was an apothecary that created the world famous bitters used in the drink from a Haitian family recipe. So I love this sort of like melting pot that New Orleans is. It's like every culture is steeped in everything you eat and drink. The city loved the drink so much that it's become a staple on cocktail lists ever since. Now, I didn't have everything for the recipe, but I got pretty close. I have absinthe, some rye whiskey, some the Péchard bitters, and then like a little bit of zest from a rind. So if I see the Green Fairy later tonight, do you know about the Green Fairy and absinthe?
No, I just know absinthe is crazy.
Yeah, apparently you can sometimes hallucinate a Green Fairy if you drink absinthe. I think that was in the back, good old days, and that other stuff was involved, but... If I start to see the Green Fairy and Jaylene starts to have a little bit too much carnival over there, somebody's going to have a good time.
Well, another connection between Mardi Gras and Carnival, you said bitters in the Angostura bitters. Did you know those are from Trinidad?
Oh, the Angostura bitters are Trinidad?
If you look on the wrapper, actually I have some, but I'm not going to get up and get it. If you look on the wrapper, it says made in Trinidad. And we went to the factory on a tour while I was there studying abroad. That was a good time.
Oh, I bet. any tour of a distillery or brewery is just like, you're in for a good treat, a winery. It is a party up in here. Now, with that homemade wine, we are still looking for sponsors, so let us know. But anyway, this brings us to our segment, Pank News. This is the segment where we talk about anything we're vibing on this week in arts and culture. And this could be anything from a theater show we've seen to pop culture events and visual arts. So, Jaylene, what are you bringing in the news today?
I am bringing in the news that it is award season. You know, we are both actors and it's award season. So I recently watched the NAACP Awards and I recently watched the SAG Awards. And it was just great seeing folks like Issa Rae and Tabitha Brown win awards on the NAACP Awards. I don't know if it's always been like this, but I just love how the NAACP is very all-encompassing. Like, you have entertainment awards, you have literary awards, you have podcast awards. So, you know, hey, we have a shot, you know? We could be nominated for an NAACP Award one day for this podcast. You never know. So I just like that it's all encompassing. And I also loved that we got to see, well, I got to see our friend of the podcast and former guest, Carl Clemens Hopkins, slaying the red carpet at the SAG Awards. Now, the SAG Awards are the Screen Actors Guild Awards. I also really love seeing the AAPI representation when Squid Games took home 3 awards. I also really love seeing deaf actors getting their shine at the SAG Awards. Troy Kotsur became the first deaf actor to win an Outstanding Performance by a Male Actor Award, as well as having the first cast made up of predominantly deaf actors win for Outstanding Performance by a Cast in a Motion Picture for the film Coda. So it was just it was just great. You know, watching these awards always just gives me joy, you know, and inspiration, because I just know that one day I will be there. And I am just looking forward to that. And it's a reminder for me to keep going with this dream of mine. So that's what I've been seeing for Pank News this week. What about you? What are you thinking about in Pank News?
Okay, so this week in news has been a bleak one. There's no way around that. But I do want to uplift the many Ukrainian, Russian, and global artists using their voices and platforms to protest the war in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And these acts of protest are gravely punishable in many countries, namely Russia, where people can get arrested, tortured, or even killed for this kind of political defiance. I want to uplift a couple of artists. So the Ukrainian-Russian artist Aljosha last week staged a naked protest with paint in front of the Motherland Monument in Kiev. And it's a very powerful picture to see. Those kinds of statues and monuments are not allowed in Ukraine, but they managed to find ways around them. So it's just like, it's a protest against art by an artist. It's really a riveting picture to see. And a founding member of the famously outspoken band Pussy Riot, Nadia Tolikonov, I'm going to butcher that name. I'm so sorry. They launched a decentralized autonomous organization, or a DAO, and that's a member-owned community whose financial transactions are maintained on a blockchain. And this was to raise funds for Ukrainian civilian organizations that are helping people who are displaced and in danger. Mm. And these are just two of the hundreds of artists speaking out on social media, painting and spray painting buildings across Russia and Ukraine, and using their platforms to fight for their independence. And that kind of action is something we take for granted, I think, as American artists, because just doing something political or against a government, you can get arrested, you can get blacklisted, you can get removed from your platforms. So as an artist myself, it is a humbling reminder that what we do can have an impact using the skills that we have to bring visibility, mobilize people, and provoke dialogue. On this podcast, our hearts go out to the millions of people being directly impacted by these tragic events as they unfold. We stand in solidarity with you.
Absolutely. And I don't know about you, but I know I have had to prioritize making sure I find those moments of joy, because it can be very consuming if you are looking at the news all day long. And it can just, I know for me, it definitely plays a part on my mental health. So I made sure to find those things that bring me joy and that bring me, that make me tickled pink.
Yes.
Which brings us to our next segment.
Yes, tickled pink.
So tickled pink is where we usually talk about something that has recently been bringing us joy. And it's a bit of a catch up for Justin and I. So, Justin, what has you tickled pink this past week?
Okay, so of course, I'm going to talk about Mardi Gras and all things Mardi Gras, but I will launch into all of that later in this episode. But while I was down in New Orleans, I rewatched Princess and the Frog and Ratatouille with my daughter. Have you seen both of those movies, Jaylene?
I have seen The Princess and the Frog,
but not Ratatouille. It's really cute and kind of gross, but really exciting. Just imagine rats in a kitchen. Yeah. But it was so nice to watch those with my daughter, especially since we were in New Orleans at Mardi Gras, and then she got to see a kitchen at Commander's Palace, like a professional working kitchen. Anyway, I'll talk about all that later. But my most podcast-related tickled pink is directing a 29-hour workshop of a new musical called Norton the First by Giacomo Fizzano at the University of the Arts as part of the school's Polyphone Festival. Right. So this festival is a new music festival. It's a nationally recognized thing, and it's all about new musicals that might be too big or too weird or too funny or too unproducible. It's like all of those things, they want to shine light on those. And so what this was this historical musical about this Joshua Norton the First, who claimed himself emperor of San Francisco in the 1830s. And it's really wild because he's one of those historical figures that made so much change, but now nobody knows who he is. Mm-hmm. And this was like a 19-person musical. It was like really bizarre and strange, very funny. But it was so fun to be working with musical theater artists, and reminded me how much I love that form and how much I miss doing that and interacting in that regard. So if you're listening out there and you're a producer and you want to put Jaylene and Justin Jane in a musical, I will direct.
No, I'm not going to be in a musical.
But I want to direct you in one.
I'm not going to be in a musical.
But in One Woman Dream Girls.
Except for that. Except for my
wife. I think that would kill and slay and would be our cash cow. Anyway, Jaylene. And we also started Cherry Orchard yesterday, but I will talk about Cherry Orchard in the future. So Jaylene, what's had you tickled pink this past week or so?
I experienced NBA All-Star Weekend last week, or maybe the weekend after before that. And by experience, I mean in my house, I was just watching on the TV, but I really love basketball. So that was awesome. What else? I said this already. Oh, no, I didn't say that I am tickled pink because it is March, okay? And March is my birthday month. Yes. So that always, always makes me tickled pink. And also I'm tickled pink because it hasn't been that cold. I know we have some people who are literally in Trinidad right now watching this show, so they don't have to worry about it being cold. But we up here, it, you know, we was experiencing winter, but now the temperatures are warming up, mm-hmm. and it doesn't look that look like they're gonna dip back into like being cold and snowy and stuff. So that definitely makes me tickled pink. The punk, what is it? I don't even know how you pronounce the name of the groundhog here in Philly.
Punxsutawney Phil.
Punxsutawney Phil said there was going to be 6 more weeks of winter, but Staten Island Chuck said it would be an early spring. So take that, Phil. Chuck
feels like there needs to be a throwdown on the podcast between two groundhogs.
It's going to be an early spring, so cheers to that.
I don't know about you, but I'm antsy to spring into Hot Topic and take a trip to New Orleans, Louisiana, and Trinidad, where in NOLA, where I can eat a beignet and drink an adult slushy, wearing a tutu and beads, and no one will bat an eye, and Trinidad, where I can see Jaylene dressed up in the most fabulous costume ever.
Yes. Hot Topic is the part of our show where we highlight either myself or Justin bringing to the episode something that we are passionate about relating to the theme of the day. So Justin just returned from Mardi Gras, where he's been going for years. And I basically just returned from Carnival in Trinidad and Tobago when I touched down at LaGuardia in 2009. So we thought it would be fun to share a little more about Mardi Gras and Carnival, what it's like in NOLA and TNT, and any tips for those of us wanting to go next year. So let's get started with my first question. Can you talk a little bit about the origins of Mardi Gras? And then I'll speak to some of the origins of Caribbean Carnival, which, surprise, surprise, are related.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't know Mardi Gras, you might be living under a rock. But just for our listeners who might be living under rocks, we appreciate y'all. But Fat Tuesday is also known as Mardi Gras, and that refers to the events, like a series of events of the Carnival celebration that's beginning on or after the Christian Feast of the Epiphany, which is Three Kings Day, and that's January 6th this year, and culminating on the day before Ash Wednesday. Now, Ash Wednesday is today, March 2nd, but this is also known, Tuesday is also known as Shrove Tuesday. Mardi Gras, of course, is French for Fat Tuesday, reflecting on the practice of the last night of eating rich, fatty foods before the ritual Lenten sacrifices and fasting of the Lenten season. Tell us about Carnival.
Yes. So Caribbean Carnival, as we know it, is said to have started in Trinidad, where it then spread to various other Caribbean islands. It began around the 18th century when the Spanish brought French planters to Trinidad to work the sugar plantation. And those French people brought their African enslaved peoples to work those plantations. Now, you mentioned Fat Tuesday, and the French who were in Trinidad would conduct various festivities such as masquerade balls before the Catholic Lenten season. So just like you were saying about the Fat Tuesday and the flesh and the da-da-da, eat it.
Yeah.
Well, carnival is the Latin expression meaning farewell to the flesh. So that's right before Lent begins. So it's the same kind of thing. So the enslaved Africans would mimic what they saw the French doing at their masquerades and while infusing their own culture and tradition. So when they became emancipated, they brought the masquerades to the streets, thus creating their own carnival. Of course, the British tried hard to stop their carnival because, you know, yeah. But the Trinidadians fought literally to keep this tradition going. So the carnival you see today is a mix of these various cultures, French, African, Indian. So many cultures have come together to make it what it is today. And this is reflective in the many different people, many different types of people who participate in carnival in Trinidad and all around the world.
Yeah. And the reason why I wanted to bring this to the podcast was because I'm sure in Carnival, as well as in New Orleans and everywhere for that matter, at this time of year, it is so It is full of artists. It's an artist's dream. And any, that means any art. It's music, it's visual, it's performance, it's costuming, it's, yes. And it's the one moment when everybody gets to be an artist, and imagination, mm. and the sky's the limit. There's so much celebration of life and so much pageantry. And I'm just, it makes me really excited every time this season rolls around, because you get to see people crafting things or getting really imaginative with their costumes, with how they're going to celebrate.
Absolutely. It's definitely just performance. You're having a good time. It's like everybody's on stage and just, okay. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were just there in New Orleans.
Yes.
The week before Mardi Gras?
Yes. So it wasn't the Mardi Gras proper. It was the weekend before.
Okay. So how was that? Tell us.
Yes. Well, the true, the intense Mardi Gras is the Thursday through Tuesday before Fat Tuesday. That's the wildest. And in past seasons, that's when we've usually gone and celebrated. But this season, we wanted to go the weekend before the big weekend, because we thought it would be a little less crowded or a little less crazy. It actually doesn't get that great. The craziness, when everybody thinks about Mardi Gras, they think about Girls Gone Wild and that kind of thing. That's all just in the French Quarter, and it's a very small part of it. But Mardi Gras actually is like a citywide thing. It's like if you took Philadelphia and you said, we're going to have a citywide party and the parade's going to go from deep North Philly all the way to South Philly. Mm-hmm. But the only thing that gets advertised is South Street, right? That's kind of what's happening when we think about Mardi Gras on the bigger scale. And everybody, of course, is in a celebratory spirit. But we decided to go the weekend before the big weekend, which was still pretty wild and fun. So I want to show you a couple of pictures.
Which one am I starting with?
We were just there. Let's still go with the Commander's Palace. So we were there for just 4 days. That's me in this I am with my daughter and the kitchen of Commander's Palace, and then me and a stranger as a king and a queen. Totally. So Commander's Palace is one of these top restaurants in the United States. It's been featured many times on Top Chef. And so I was crowned king of Mardi Gras at Commander's Palace.
What?
It was wild. They stood us up. They paraded us around the restaurant. We got these hats, me and this other stranger. But this there's a picture of myself and my daughter and the head chef, who's their first female lesbian chef that restaurant has ever had. They've had some really amazing chefs come through. So we got a picture with her in the kitchen, and she was crying, telling my daughter that she can do anything she wants to do. And Emmy was so happy to be back there. But That was us in the kitchen. And then there should be another picture of me and the queen that they chose. So they just chose the two people who would look the most flamboyant. And I had this sparkle jacket on, and she had this beautiful red dress and big thing in her hair. And they crowned us and paraded us around the restaurant and put napkins around us. It was really, really fun.
That's awesome.
But I want to show you some videos, a little bit of what the parades feel like. So here's just like three snippets so you can get a sense. Parades are usually comprised of marching bands, of dance troops, and of floats. Floats are, of course, where you get all of your beads, which are called throws, and they can be anything from a stuffed animal to anything else. This is one of the dance groups, and it made me think of you, Jaylene.
Hey.
And then there's a float behind it. Yeah. Also, some of these people are walking for 7 or 8 miles, and they're doing it for like all day long.
Sorry, Justin.
No, here's a band. There's
Adam.
Good. So yeah, I love that video because the band was playing the theme song from Golden Girls. And I thought that was so charming. And then this is just, of course, one of the floats. It stopped right in front of us, so they were reloading. You can see it's pretty big. It goes like three wide. And it's just the people throwing things from those the whole time. So, wow. Yeah, and I just want to show you some of my beads and my outfit from Mardi Gras. I had the jacket I'm wearing right now. So for our listeners, I'm wearing this very sparkly sequins jacket. I made a hat out of Mardi Gras beads. It was so, so wonderful. And this is me getting my beads. I got a mask and me, of course, with a beer. So you just hang out on the sidewalk and make friends with everybody around you and just have a good old time.
That is amazing.
I know it was a little while ago, Jaylene, but tell us about your carnival experience in Trinidad.
Yes. Well, very similar to what you said. You know, you have a lot of floats and things going by in the parade. In carnival, you have a lot of trucks blasting soca music, and a lot of times the different soca artists will be on the trucks. Wow. And you have people in their costumes. So I played Mas in Trinidad Carnival in 2009.
Wait, what's Mas? I don't know what Mas is.
Okay. Yes, okay. So remember when I said that the French would do the masquerade balls and then the enslaved Africans would mimic the masquerade
balls?
Well, the masquerade, that is where... So when you play Mas, is you're playing, you're doing like the masquerade, but because of the accent, you know.
Yes.
Masquerade is pronounced masquerade, yeah. So it's shortened to Mas.
Nice.
So you're playing Mas if you're in Trinidad Carnival. And I played traditional Mas with Mount Hope Connection. So traditional Mas, the masqueraders are paying tribute to that history that I talked about earlier. Whereas pretty Mas is more the popular Mas that you see today where people are wearing beads and feathers and... Da, 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 da. I do have a picture.
Yes.
My costume. Hold on. Share. Okay. Here I am. There I am.
Yes.
In my. What?
I couldn't hear what you said.
Excuse me.
Siri wants you to go dress in Moss. Okay. Describe for our listeners what you're wearing here.
So in this picture, I have on red and yellow. It's like a yellow sports bra and then like yellow little almost like biker shorts. And then on top of that is a red and yellow like little sash. And then I have a red cape and I have a hat that has like red and yellow things sticking out of it. And I have, I don't know what they're called that you put on the bottom of my calves, but those are red and I have a stick. So
I love this. This looks, I don't know why you don't dress like this more.
Gosh. So I was me and the folks who were playing Mas with me, we were Cambule sailors. So when the enslaved Africans would hold their carnival festivities, it was referred to as Cambule, or in French, I don't know how to pronounce it, but C-A-N-N-E-S and then space brûlées. I know brûlée because that's creme brûlée.
Cambule.
Yes. But that it was called that because it was held at the same time as the burning and harvesting of the sugar cane. So the burning sugar. So we were Cambule sailors. And I have a short clip of us. So part of playing Mas, whatever band you're in, they're called bands, and whatever band you're in, when you get to the main stage, you do a performance and it's like a competition. And so, I have to stop sharing this screen. Okay, here we go. So we had to learn a routine. The choreographer, Miss Ayana Alexis, is in the building right now. She was part of our program, and that is my friend. Share screen. Here we are in carnival.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. So these are some of the people. This is us doing our dance. And they're in the front.
Yes.
And that's Ayana right there. And I think Katrin is right next to her. No, Katrin's in the back.
Yes. That's so exciting. Oh my gosh. It is always such a joy to be in a parade or in something like that. I think you get like this rush to be in like in that. It's a joy overload. It's just like, I'm giving it to you. You're giving it to me. We're all just going to go crazy. That's really fun.
It is so amazing. So amazing. Okay. So Justin, what is it like being in New Orleans? I know I was only there for a few hours one time when we were on tour with Killer Whale. And so, but I loved just the few hours that I was there. So what is it like?
Oh my gosh. I hope all of our Peg Papas and our live audience that's watching our recording has gone. But if you've never been to New Orleans, everyone should go at least once in your life. It's like a super accessible place, but it feels like a different country. It feels like you're when you get off the plane, you go into the city, you're just like, this is nowhere. This is unlike any other place in America. I feel like other places in the country, like even like Philly, you can be like, oh, I can point to another city and it's like kind of like that, but you know, grittier. But if there's no way to talk about New Orleans in combination of any other places that exist in the world. And what's really special is whatever you believe, no matter what you believe, there's true magic in this place. Magic in like all ways that magic can be, in like serious like voodoo magic, and then also just like a spirit, like a something or the walls talk to you when you go through them. But the French Quarter, of course, is like the most popular destination, and as a tourist you have to go there just to see the streets, to see the architecture, get beignets, to see Jackson Square, all of that. But the rest of the city is a lot bigger than that. And when you go uptown and you take a streetcar for forever, you end up in another neighborhood and you get to see the beauty of like the bayou and like all of these old houses. I'm not an expert on the place, of course, but it always feels like a welcoming place. It reminds me at times of Florida, actually, especially when it's really hot. And it's very Florida in that like it's a melting pot of people. It's just like all kinds of communities together and coexisting and just having joy for life. It feels like joy is in the blood of the people. Even though like they've faced some really hard stuff and continue to face really hard stuff. It's a really special welcoming place. So what was it like in Trinidad and Tobago? I haven't been.
Tobago. Again, a lot of the same things you said. Like, I feel like this is some place that everybody should visit at some point in their life. It was absolutely incredible. And I had the joy of being there for months. I did my whole semester, my spring semester of junior year, yes, in Trinidad and Tobago. So it was absolutely incredible. As someone who loves the warmth, you know I was in heaven. Because it was warm the whole time and like my friends were in Ithaca freezing and I was living it up in Trinidad and it felt really good. Also, it was good to be in a country where I was no longer the minority, you know, just looking around and seeing people of color it felt really great. I really, really enjoyed learning about the history of Trinidad and Tobago and just learning like about the people who came there and how the influences with the food. And like, I really, really enjoyed learning about that. I always said like, it made me feel proud to be from Trinidad, even though I'm not actually from Trinidad. You know what I mean? Like I was just like proud of their culture. And that's one thing. You have so many different people in Trinidad and a lot of Indian descent, African descent. You have Chinese people. Like there's so many different people. But what I feel like what joins them all is they have this fierce, fierce pride in being from Trinidad and Tobago. Like that is wherever you go. There's such pride, and I love, love, love that. And as you said with Nola, it's like a melting pot. And then because I am Caribbean, I'm from my mom's side is from the Virgin Islands. You know, it felt like I was kind of home, and I loved being a part of that culture, hearing soca music all the time, going to soca parties. I was just in heaven. You got the soca music, you got the beach, you got the delicious food. Like it was just the best freaking semester ever. Catherine said, the Trini is so welcoming. Yes, everybody was very welcoming, and I had a great time.
Well, I think when we're filthy rich and Papa Pank can start traveling the world and be a travel show as well.
Amen. Come on.
These are some of the first stops. I think episode one is Trinidad and Tobago. Stop two is New Orleans, Louisiana.
Pank travels. I am with it.
We would have such a good travel show.
We really would, though.
And we would eat all the food.
Yes, we would. It would be a travel and food show and arts and culture. It'll just be the show on the road. So producers out there, hit us up. So Catherine said manifesting. Yes, see, people are down for the Pank travels. We can have an episode with former guests of the show. EJ and Christy, they can take us on a travel situation happening because they're the travel experts. Listen, it'll be great. Okay, now one thing I mentioned was the food in Trinidad. Let me know, what are some of the things that you ate while you was in New Orleans?
You know, in the past, I've had more of a food tour, but in this past visit, I had the best po' boy of my life at Mahoney's famous restaurant. So it's award-winning. It's been on TV, this po' boy. I sat down, I saw on the menu, I was like, oh, and you sometimes when you see that on the menu, you're like, whatever, this is gonna be bad. Yeah, I got it. And it almost was like I started crying eating it. Had fried oysters, had fried shrimp, had all the other things that a po' boy usually has. A really nice baguette. But the keys to the kingdom was the candied thick-cut bacon. Candied bacon, it melted in your mouth. Mm. It gave a little sweet thing. Mm. It was almost like it was a sauce. Mm. I was like, I'm never going to eat a po' boy the same way again.
That sounds so good.
I know. I definitely had gumbo and jambalaya at Commander's Palace. And then, of course, I had to go to Café du Monde, which is where they make the coffee and the beignets. Mm-hmm. Got powdered sugar all over my face. My daughter got powdered sugar all over her face. Rice and beans. I had fried fish at Commander's Palace. Mm-hmm. But the thing I want to uplift that was different this time than other times is the one, the only.
The only.
The only. The one. The only. I got a New Orleans accent too. The Popeyes. I am talking about Popeyes fried chicken. Mm. Now, I know everybody out there is like, I know what Popeyes is, but it's different. It's different in New Orleans. It's the definition of soul food and food for the soul. There's magic in it, but the Popeyes felt like something else. It just tasted different.
I believe it.
But I think all of that food really reminded me of Melanie Finister's Wilma short called Lanyap, which was all about cooking and talking about New Orleans. Anyway, what were some of your favorite foods in Trinidad?
Well, since you mentioned Popeyes, I totally understand what you mean. I've never had Popeyes in New Orleans, but I feel the same way about KFC in Trinidad.
What?
I do not mess with KFC here in the States, but KFC in Trinidad is so good. KFC in the Caribbean, I hear, period. Like, I hear it's similar in Jamaica, but I've never been. I only speak to Trinidad. The KFC in Trinidad was fire, as Catherine said. Yes, it was so good. And then Trinidad has this, like, specific ketchup. Like, the ketchup is a little bit sweeter there. So good. Okay. So there's KFC. Yes. One of my favorite things, which I literally still dream about. I'm not even exaggerating. I dream about this in my sleep. Bus up shut from this place called Wings.
Wait, can you say that slowly again? Because that sounded like a curse word.
Bus up shut. So B-U-S-S, up and then shut.
Bus up shut.
Bus up shut, which is, it comes from the fact, okay. Have you ever heard of roti?
Yeah. The India, like a roti bread.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I told you there's a heavy influence, Indian. Yes. Influence. Okay. So roti, it's like roti, but take the bread off of it. The bread part is, I believe, it's called the paratha.
Okay.
And then if you like went like this with it and made it into like shreds, then that is why it's called bus up shirt, because it looks like a busted up shirt. So you have that, you take that and you eat it, and I like it with I'm getting so hungry. Okay, so I would get bus up shut from Wings, which is like around the corner from where we stayed in Trinidad in Tunapuna. And we would have it with, I would have it with curry goat, chana, which are curry chickpeas, and pumpkin. I had never had pumpkin with my food. I remember literally the first day we arrived in Trinidad at the mall, I ordered a roti and the woman was like, she suggests putting pumpkin in it. And I remember I was like, pumpkin? Ew, like I don't eat pumpkin. Like the only thing you do with pumpkins is like carve them on Halloween. Like, you want me to put pumpkin in my food? But of course I didn't say that, but I was thinking that. But I was like, you know what? I'm here. Go along with it. And that thing was so good. So look up shut with curry goat, chana, and pumpkin. Doubles in the morning. There's a bunch of carts on the street that sell doubles, which is also like a little... like almost like the roti bread, kind of like it's like a bread thing, and then it's the chana, the curry chickpeas in there, and you put sauce, like you could put like a chutney sauce. I would always say no pepper sauce because I don't like spice. So doubles, pilori, again a lot of Indian influences on the food. So the pilori was like deep fried dough stuffed with chickpeas and served drenched with chutney, like in a paper bag, like bhaji rice, Palau, bacon shark from Maracas Beach. Like, I had never eaten shark before.
We need to stop recording this episode and just go get food.
Listen, I need these foods in my life right now. I need them. So
we have some people living in Trinidad watching this episode recording live. Mm-hmm. They can just ship it to us.
Listen, if Ayana could mail me some Palau right now, I would be in heaven.
That's the name of her business, Palau Right Now.
Yes. Okay, we are nearing the end of our hot topic.
Okay.
So we just have two more questions. Real quick, tell us some tips for visiting Mardi Gras.
Okay, it's not what people think. That's my first tip. Like, go and enjoy yourself. You can always just Google search tips for yourself. And I want to just say it is super family friendly. I brought my 5-year-old. I know people that bring their infants, their 10-year-olds, their teenagers. But I will say, if you're going to go at parade time, book an Airbnb that's like a block away from the parade route. Stay uptown, go off of St. Charles, and then like you'll have a place to like go and crash between parades or go and use the bathroom. But there are many times of the season of the year to visit that where you can get a kind of Mardi Gras spirit. The first and the second biggest one is, of course, Jazz Fest, and that's in April in the first week of May. Have you been to Jazz Fest, Jaylene?
I told you I've only been in New Orleans for 5 hours.
Well, that's enough to live 5 days. 1 hour in New Orleans is a day. But Jazz Fest is a big music festival. It's not only jazz. It's all kinds of artists, R&B, hip hop, pop, country, everything. Southern Decadence happens in September. That's a big LGBT celebration. And Halloween in October is always a good time.
And Essence Fest in July.
Essence Fest in July. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. There's also many parades to see, but my personal favorites would be, you'd have to see Muses, go see Cleopatra, go see Zulu. No matter what you're doing, you can do your research, but choose any of the predominantly female or BIPOC parades. Mm-hmm. Some of the parades are one flavor of people, and you won't get as many good throws if you're not like doing Girls Gone Wild for those. So go choose your parades wisely. What are your tips for going to Trinidad?
Now, listen, it's been a long time. So, you know, I'm sure my tips will change if I went now. But from what I can remember, learn how to catch you a maxi, which is basically the cabs that will take you places within the city. Once you know how to navigate that, you're pretty good in terms of getting around. They still have maxi cabs, right? Ayana, let us know in the comments.
Maxi pads?
Cabs. Hezma, Ayana, help me out here. The maxis. If you don't like spice, make sure you say that. Because a lot of times, you know, food will be spicy. They add that pepper sauce. Speaking of pepper sauce, I want to lift up a Trinidadian entrepreneur in the comments. Miss Janelle Robinson has a pepper sauce called Marvetta, Marvetta. So please look that up. It is very good. And I don't even like spicy stuff, okay?
Oh.
That pepper sauce, it's got like mango up in there. And it, so it gives you that heat, but not too much. So definitely look up Marvetta. And Jenna, is her family is from Trinidad. So she is Trinidadian. So yes, just wanted to uplift that real quick. What else? When you go to Trinidad, don't forget to go to Tobago. Make sure you take that little flight, 20-minute flight. That was a very small plane. Or you can take the ferry and go to Tobago. You have to go to Tobago.
Okay.
Tobago is amazing. And I also really like Charlottesville in Tobago. Okay. Last question.
Yes.
How can you celebrate Mardi Gras even when Mardi Gras has to happen?
This is very fitting for our listeners. So Mardi Gras is a spirit. Yes, it's a time and an event, but it's also a spirit. There's a spirit of Mardi Gras, and it's about living in the moment. And one of the things that I love is you get all these moments of joy, of pure joy with a stranger. And that can last anywhere from 30 seconds where somebody's throwing you a thing and you catch it and you both like laugh or you have a shared thing, or you're standing in the parade and there's somebody that's been with you for 8 hours all day and you strike up conversation, or it's the waiter, or it's just like the Lyft drivers we had all these really fun moments. Mm-hmm. And it's like this constant reminder that living your life doesn't have to be as awful as it sometimes feels. Mm-hmm. That you can enjoy it, you can feel lucky, you can celebrate life, you can eat and treat anytime. And so I think the biggest takeaway is just about, and why it's so apropos for our podcast, it's about joy and it's about living in the moment. And it's okay to have that in the face of all the other things going around.
Amen. I feel the same way about Carnival. You have a lot of joy in Carnival. You're just dancing. You may wind up on somebody, you know, that you don't even know, but you're having a good time and everybody's just there for the lime, there to just have a good time. Look, I'm already doing a pank freestyle already and we're not even at the end of the episode. But yes, carry that feeling of joy and just seeing the good in others and having a good time.
Yes.
Carry that throughout the year.
Let's check in about anything upcoming that we're excited about with our Pank Forecast.
Pank Forecast. Yes, upcoming at the Wilma Theater, My Cherry Orchard open mic at the Wilma Theater featuring Lindo. Yes, this will be on Monday, April 25th at 7 p.m. in the Wilma Lobby. For more information, visit wilmatheater.org/open-mic. What you got, Justin?
Well, I mean, while we're on it, I am going to talk about the Cherry Orchard at the Wilma Theater. Now, that is going to be in live performances April 12th through May 1st, and then we'll stream afterward. That's at Wilma Theater. That's theater with an E-R.O-R-G. Please don't miss this. This is going to be a pretty riveting performance. Okay, let's go into our next segment, which is
games.
Pew, 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 pew.
Okay, this is rapid fire questions, which is good because we're near the end. So you ready, Justin? I've got 10 questions for you.
Okay, give it to me.
Fire. Okay, regarding Nola. Favorite place for beignets?
Cafe Du Monde.
Po' boy or gumbo?
Gumbo.
Raw oysters or cooked oysters?
Raw.
Favorite Nola drink?
Well, the Sazerac.
Mild or spicy?
Mild. I can't. I sweat.
Favorite New Orleans musician?
Oh, Trombone Shorty.
Food tour or live jazz?
Live jazz.
Lodging on Bourbon Street or lodging just outside the city?
Outside the city. Nothing on Bourbon Street.
Favorite NOLA dish?
Anything at Commander's Palace.
Something pink in NOLA.
Nipples. It depends on the nipple too.
Great. All right. Well,
here we are at the end of the episode.
Our next episode is Tuesday, not Wednesday. Tuesday, March 15th at 9 p.m. That is my birthday eve. Ooh. So that's what's happening there. And are we going to do
I will be talking about the Cherry Orchard at that time. So please tune in and help us celebrate Jaylene as she turns 68.
And we always end the episode with a freestyle. So Justin,
yeah,
your freestyle has to be theme. Your freestyle theme has to be Mardi Gras. So
okay.
Go ahead.
Mardi Gras. Let the good times roll. Let the parades out. I've got my costume on. I'm ready to shout. Throw me something, mister. Make sure it's good. I'm leaving tomorrow. Let me bring this to my hood.
Yeah.
Okay. Yours is, there was a lot of dancing in yours. So dancing.
Dancing. When you're in Trinidad and you're dancing, you may get hot. So you might want a cola because you're going to be sweating. You're going to be whining while you're dancing to some soca. So wave your hands, jump and shout, because joy and happiness is what TNT is all about.
Yes, complete with an accent and everything. Okay, so here we are. We made it
now.
I am sweating. Yeah, that one was work. I'm telling you, it is work. And you know what's even more work is my proverb. So I don't know idioms and proverbs, but give me a situation where something might happen.
Definitely give us a proverb. Hold on. Where is the proverb? Oh, I have it. Give us a proverb about going to Mardi Gras.
Oh, yeah. When you're on the streets, make sure you eat.
Ooh, I like that one.
That is true. And that is true. There was a day when I didn't eat anything. I was just drinking. And then I was like, I'm getting lightheaded. I think I have to go home.
When you're on the streets, make sure you
eat.
Yes, if you enjoyed the show today, please feel free to donate, please, to Papa Bank. We're on Cash App at Papa Bank. We're on PayPal at paypal.me/Papa Bank. Just $43 takes care of our StreamYard expenses. StreamYard is the platform we're using right here. And Buzzsprout, which is the platform we use to host our podcast. But any amount will help. We love doing the show for you all. Thank you to all the new people who tuned in tonight. We both really appreciate it. We want to shout out to Jordan McCree, who wrote our music, Tracy A. Cassius, our studio editor, all of our past guests, and you, our followers, Pink Papas, who are tuned in with us right now. What should they do, Justin?
Please go plug us on social media. Yeah, subscribe to us on YouTube, on Facebook, on Insta. Every little bit counts. And if you're already listening as you're doing your dishes, remember to leave us a review. That goes a long way.
Thank you. We love all of you. Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. This was awesome. I appreciate you all. Oh, yes. Carl says this episode was truly a party. Thanks for the joy. And with that, we are going to get up on.